today I want to talk about fats, dietary fats, and all of their benefits and some of the things that we need to be aware of and what we need to look for in our diet. So just to start off, our needs are all incredibly individual. There is no certain amount that I would recommend for everyone. There's no certain kinds of fat that I would necessarily say one person needs more or less of. Everyone is going to be completely different from the next person because we all have different goals. We all have a different health status. We all have different foods that we prefer and things that we don't like, things we may or may not have access to. So with just like everything else, when it comes to this nutrition stuff, every single person is completely different and we all have completely different wants and needs. So this is all just very general, and it will be up to you and perhaps the coach that you're working with to come up with a plan that's going to work best for you. And if you're one of those people who you listen to this and you're like, what should I do? Reach out to me. I work with people one-on-one to create a plan that works for them. So with that said, we are going to start off with unsaturated fat. And this is going to be our olives, our avocados, almonds, peanuts, cashews, and then all of the products that coincide with those, like olive oil, avocado oil, almond, butter, etc. These are super common, you know, we use them in our daily life. Olive oil as a salad dressing, avocado in our salad, peanut butter in our oats, cashews as a snack. These are great. They are going to be very anti-inflammatory for the body. They're going to decrease our risk of heart disease. They're going to help promote blood sugar regulation, and they are also going to help increase our satiety. Fats are great. Fats keep us full longer because fats slow down digestion. That can also keep our blood sugar from spiking, and that can ultimately help with fat loss, because if our blood sugar spikes, then our insulin comes in, and when our insulin is present, that is a storage hormone, so that's going to keep fat loss at bay. With that said, 1 gram of fat is 9 calories, so you get a lot of energy from fat. And it can add up really quickly. So, you know, for my girls who track, you definitely, like, if you're like, oh, I'm just gonna have like a spoonful of peanut butter, that might sound super innocent, and it is. There's nothing wrong with doing a spoonful of peanut butter, but I will say, weigh it. Because if you look and it's like, oh, 12 grams, you're getting like 75, 80 calories. And that's all good. But it's just something that you need to be aware of because it does add up really, really quickly. I feel like with almonds, like I could just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat them, and because they're so tasty. And then the next thing I know, I'm like, that was like 400 calories. So just be aware that the calories do rack up very quickly, and that's okay, but you just need to know. I will say this. I do think that it's important for people to get like 50 to 55 grams minimally, 50 to 55 grams of fat a day. Fat supports healthy hormones. It also supports healthy cell structure, because literally like the walls of our cells are made up of fat. Like there's lipids. It's a phospholipid bilayer. There's also cholesterol required to create our cell walls. We want our cell walls to be strong, and we want them to be intact. So we need fat to support healthy cell structure and to support hormone creation and function. And so 50 to 55 grams a day, like minimally, is kind of rule of thumb. But anyway, and we want to get up from all these different kinds, which I'm going to continue to talk about. So, fats also increase our satiety, which keeps us full longer, which can also help keep us from overeating. And that is also going to help promote fat loss as well. All right. So that's our unsaturated. Now we're going to get into polyunsaturated fatty acids, PUFAs. And these have been getting a ton of, discussion lately. PUFAs, like if you ever read I've got the book back there. Anyway, there's this whole book. What is it? Which book is it? It's going to drive me crazy. Deep Nutrition by Kate Shanahan. This guy. It's a fantastic book. But one of the biggest things that she goes into, and she's big on attacking polyunsaturated fatty acids. But I want to open your eyes to some of this stuff because we all know that omega-3s, it's common knowledge that omega-3 fatty acids are really good for us. Well, omega-3s are polyunsaturated. So we're going to kind of get into the intricacies here. So omega-3 fatty acids, the omega-3 fatty acids are ALA, EPA, and DHA. Okay. So the only one that's technically required for us to eat is ALA, alpha linoleic acid. Because ALA can be converted into EPA and DHA. However, that conversion they will convert, but they don't, it's not good. The conversion is, what's the word I'm thinking of? I might need some more fat. My brain is not functioning, it's not clicking right now. So, it will convert. It's just not very efficient. That's the word I was looking for. So getting EPA and DHA in our diet can be really, really good for us. So, we can get ALA. So let's talk about that first. We can get ALA from flaxseed, hemp seed, walnut, soy, and canola. We can get the EPA and DHA from foods that contain omega-3s. So if you are eating grass-fed beef or grass-fed butter, those cows have access to grass that have omega-3 fatty acids in that grass. So by eating grass-fed butter, grass-fed milk, etc., we are then receiving EPA and DHA in those animal products. Or we could also eat fish. We could also take fish oil. So USDA, I think it's USDA. They recommend having fish twice a week, and that's going to kind of get you where you need to be. Again, those dietary guidelines are just kind of minimal. So at minimum, you want to eat fish twice a week and you'll get this. You can always take fish oil. Brief thing on fish oil. If you see where it says omega-3s, total omega-3s, and then it'll have EPA, 300, DHA, 300, but it says total omega-3 fatty acids, you're getting some of that can be filler. So I always want to look for something that says like EPA 300, DHA 300, total fatty acids 600. So you just want to look for something like that. And you also want to get it from like anchovies, sardines. Those are going to be like the best ones because those are going to have the least amount of mercury. My favorite is Nordic Naturals. And then just doing like the liquid, even though it tastes gross, like get over it. But that's going to give you the most bang for your buck. And is really high quality. Barlean's is another good one. And I think Kirkland might still be good too. I haven't looked into that in a while. But these are really good for our brain health. They're very anti-inflammatory. They're good for our nervous system. And so that's omega-3 fatty acids. Those are polyunsaturated. But now then we've got omega-6 fatty acids, which inherently are not necessarily bad. They can definitely be a little bit more inflammatory. But the problem is the ratio in the typical American diet is way out of whack. Where, so like omega-6 fatty acids you would get from safflower oil, sunflower oil, hemp seed, and evening primrose oil, they can be helpful for like our skin. I know that taking evening primrose oil has helped me with adult acne. They can help with eczema. They can help with rheumatoid arthritis. But the problem is that like if we are consuming these like highly inflammatory fat sources, omega-6s, then, you know, and it's not just what we're eating. What are the animals eating that we are then eating? Are they eating a ton of corn? Are they eating like these like highly manufactured, highly processed grains that are also genetically modified and sprayed with pesticides? Like all of these things increase the inflammation. And then we're eating the animals that are eating those things. And so we are then getting those micronutrients from them as well. And so, cause that was kind of like eye opening to me. I was like, I don't really eat things with omega-6. Like I said, I do supplement with evening primrose oil, but like, I don't eat a lot of omega-6. But the problem is that I eat animals that may consume those things. So when our omega-6 becomes like far greater, the typical American diet is like 12 omega-6 to 1 omega-3. Now we are offsetting all of those wonderful benefits that were anti-inflammatory benefits that we would be getting from the omega-3s. And here's the other thing too, is that where's my note on this? Sorry, I'm just looking. I have literally just like read about this. Omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids interfere with the metabolism of each other. So if you're eating a ton of omega-6, it could be offsetting the little bit of omega-3 that you're getting. And so one of the recommendations is to just go ahead and supplement with omega-3. And then you're definitely going to be out of that like typical American 12 to 1 ratio omega-6 to omega-3. But then the other thing too is like some of these polyunsaturated fatty acids, or the sources of the polyunsaturated fatty acids, they can become really toxic because they are unstable, chemically unstable. They can become toxic in the body. They create oxidative stress. And so then they become inflammatory. But like if you consume a diet that's high in antioxidants, so think about your brightly colored fruits and vegetables like blueberries, raspberries, spinach, kale, the things with like the deep colors, those will help offset some of the oxidative stress in the body, because we, at the end of the day, we can't just completely be free of these polyunsaturated fatty acid sources. We can try, and I think I particularly do a very good job because nothing comes through this door that has canola oil to my knowledge. And I really don't eat out very often. And when I do, I don't eat fried things, but it's not perfect. I actually just found out that there's a very, 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 like, it's a fine dining restaurant. They soak their avocados in canola oil overnight because it helps keep them fresh so they don't lose profit. But now I'm eating, like, I am innocently thinking I'm eating avocado, and it turns out I'm also getting canola. So you can't, it's not ever going to be perfect. But we really want to focus on these omega-3 fatty acids because they are so anti-inflammatory, and they will offset the omega-6 inflammatory PUFAs that we ultimately end up receiving. All right, so let's move into saturated fat. I know that's like kind of interesting. It's all very controversial. Do your best. So let's move into saturated fat. Saturated fat, again, was controversial for a while. People thought that it made you have heart disease and like cholesterol was bad and blah, blah, blah. But like, it turns out that was just propaganda from the food industry trying to get you to eat basically more sugar. So they were blaming saturated fat for the things that sugar was actually doing. So we're getting our saturated fat from meat, from dairy products. It raises the good cholesterol, which again, we know we need cholesterol. Like, it's our cells are dependent upon it. Saturated fats are also fantastic for blood sugar regulation. They keep us full longer. They're also really supportive to the nervous system. So I follow a gal who is like, she is in the world of nutrition, but her big thing is nervous system regulation, and saturated fats can be, they're heavier, they're denser, they can be really, really calming. And they support brain function. So saturated fat, as long as it's part of a well-rounded diet, is absolutely fantastic for us. Then we get into trans fats, which are like, they've been banned in some countries, but of course we're in America and so they don't care. These are artificial. They're basically, they make things go from being liquid to solid, and they are, it's completely manufactured. It doesn't exist in nature, and we know if it doesn't exist in nature, you probably shouldn't eat it. Your body's not going to know what to do with it. They raise our bad cholesterol. They promote heart disease. So yeah, let's just stay away from those. So like margarine, we don't need that. And then there are medium chain triglycerides, which we're going to get a little bit in milk and butter. It mostly exists in coconut oil. So if you've been around through the paleo fads, you know, like, coconut oil and coconut products are very, very popular. And then also palm kernel. They are really good energy source, really good source of energy. They're great for brain health, blood sugar regulation, keep us full longer. They are also antimicrobial and antifungal. So like, they're really great on the skin, right? Always want to use sustainable, especially when it comes to palm oil. We love orangutans and we want to keep them alive, and we don't want to support people who are doing deforestation just so they can make more money. One other note on this is whenever you go to buy coconut oil, you will see refined and you will see unrefined. Unrefined is going to be less processed, so there's probably going to be more nutrients, but you are more likely to get that coconut flavor, which is fantastic when it's on sweet potato, for example, or in your oatmeal. However, if you are cooking with, if you're cooking with avocado, or sorry, if you're cooking with coconut oil and you don't want it to impart that flavor, you would probably want to get the refined version. So just know that some nutrients may be lost and it is going to be a little bit more processed, but there's still going to be those medium chain triglycerides. One other note on cooking. So I'm not the cook, but my husband is a fantastic cook. And so our unsaturated fats are going to, with one exception, are going to have a lower smoke point, which means they cannot go to a high heat. So if you are simply sauteing some vegetables, olive oil is absolutely fantastic. However, if you are putting something on a hot pan and you need to sear it, like steak, for example, and you want to stick with unsaturated, avocado oil is going to be your better option. If you are looking for a saturated fat, which we often do in this house for high heat searing, butter also works well as ghee, which is clarified butter. So clarified butter is going to have those milk solids removed from it. So ghee is then, even though it is a dairy product, it is now lactose free. Or you can also use tallow, which is beef fat. You could do duck fat, you could do pork fat, you could do chicken fat. Those things, they are saturated fat. They are all great for high smoke point or high heat cooking. And then going back to the polyunsaturated fatty acids, you know, if they can become toxic, they are not stable. However, when they are left at room temperature or kept cold, hidden from light, we want to always make sure that we keep them airtight. That's when, you know, like using sunflower oil as part of your dressing, or using taking fish oil, that's going to have be far less likely to become toxic or rancid in the body than heating up the canola oil and the soybean oil. So soybean oils are super cheap. That's why you see them so commonly in dressings. And if you go out to eat, you are probably getting soybean oil in your dressing, because it's cheap. And, you know, that's, again, it's not as bad as like the canola oil, which can be utilized in high heat. Canola oil is used in fryers quite often because it's very, very cheap. And now you're taking something that is already inherently very inflammatory, and now you are going to create the toxicity of it. Not to mention that both of these are super cheap and created in abundance in America, and they are all going to be genetically modified. They're all going to be sprayed with pesticides and herbicides. So we're getting those in there as well, which is there. Many of those are carcinogens. And unfortunately, our animals are eating those things too. So again, we're getting those things from the animals that we eat, unless we are really picky about where we get our meats and our dairy. And then I had one other point on that as well. Like, oh, what was it? Canola oil, soybean oil. Oh, a lot of times too, you think you're eating olive oil and it turns out you're actually eating soybean oil. So I always am like, do your research on your olive oil and your avocado oil, because a lot of it's BS. And you're not getting what you think you are. I think that's it. I think there was something else. A lot of places too, instead, so that way they can stay away from polyunsaturated fatty acids. If you were to like deep fry something, or eat at a restaurant that doesn't use polyunsaturated fatty acids. They don't use canola. They're seed oil free, but they fry something. A lot of times they will fry it in peanut oil, which again, it's fried, so it's not really that great for you. But peanut oil is unsaturated, so it is not as inflammatory in the body. I think that's it. I think I covered it all. I know that's a lot. So if you're like, what the heck? I'm confused. Send me an email, send me a message, and I'm happy to chat about this stuff with you. Anyway, and if you're like, hey, I don't know how to avoid this stuff in my life, or I don't know how much of it to eat or when and et cetera, send me a message, Kira@KiraWilliamsFitness.com, and let's get you set up on a plan. So thanks for watching and listening. Bye.